This morning I want to talk again about how to deal with fear. We're going to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. It'll take us a little bit to get there, but we're going to open God's Word now. And after we share, we're going to respond. And we're going to listen to the Word, and then we're going to engage with it. We're going to ask ourselves, what do I need to do? Lord, what do you want me to do in light of what I've heard today? And I hope that everybody will have a response. If you don't know the Lord, if you've never really put your trust in Christ, if you don't know that you have eternal security in Christ, that will be your greatest response, to turn your heart in repentance and faith towards God and say to Him, Lord, save me too. Come into my life. I put all my trust and all my faith in what Jesus has done for me at the cross. And I hope that no matter where you are in your spiritual journey, you will be able to take encouragement from this. You know, we were talking earlier among the elders about how we've never done this before, having live streaming or, you know, having to kind of do a worship service without a lot of people, and that we were in uncharted waters. And I actually remembered something from 45 or 50 years ago where actually that statement is not true for me. I have been a part of this before, long before the internet. It was probably, as I said, 45 or 50 years ago that my home church, Sheridan Hills Baptist Church, and my pastor, Bill Billingsley, would go down to a studio in Miami called Channel 51 on the UHF dial. And there's a studio there, and we would go in there. The choir would come from the church. Pastor Billingsley would come, and they would sing, and he would preach to the choir, literally preach to the choir, and preach the sermon that he had preached on Sunday at our church. And that's how the television ministry started at Sheridan Hills. I remember sitting there watching all this happen, realizing you can worship anywhere, and you can teach the Word of God anywhere. So this is not totally new to me, but it certainly has been a very long time. So how to deal with fear. Now, last week we dove quickly into the biblical reality that God's people have only one thing to fear. And that one thing is not really an object or a situation. That one person is God. We only fear God. And so that is something that I think that a lot of people would agree with. We should fear God, but should we only fear God? And we said that fear is when we stand in awe of something. I gave a definition that went like this. It's biblical fear, at least the way it's used in the Bible, is to stand in awe of something, to give great respect, even worship, to be impressed to the overwhelming of our senses or our values. That is another form of fear. It's not always just shaking in being afraid of something or getting hurt. There's a sense of worship that comes with fear. And so, in other words, the only one that we should fear is God, which means, if you apply the definition to fearing God, that we should stand in awe of Him, that we should give Him our great respect, to be impressed by Him to the overwhelming even of our senses and our values. This is what God deserves as the greatest personality, the creator of the universe, the one who deserves our attention, our worship, and our fear. The only one. So when we're afraid, and here's the point that we made last week, so when we're afraid of anything else, when we are giving those things our respect, giving them our standing in awe of them, they become huge in our senses to the point of fear or worship or whatever, in that moment, the real problem with that is that we are giving to that thing or that person or that situation only what God deserves. That's the problem, really, with fear. And so we said that the antidote to this fear, if you want to learn how to not fear the things we shouldn't fear, is that we take life's issues, whatever they may be, and that is to build this conviction and even a habit, if you will, of transferring the fear that we're experiencing towards the wrong thing and giving it to God. We transfer our fear from where it is to God. We're giving awe and respect and letting it overwhelm our senses, and we move that to God so that we would say, maybe in a prayer, maybe it would come out like this. It's come out this way with me many times. I'm saying, I'm fearing, I'm being afraid of something that I shouldn't be, and I say, God, in this moment, I'm feeling afraid. Which means that I might say to the Lord, I'm giving my awe and my respect and my overwhelming sense to this thing in my life when really you're the only one that should have that. So Lord, right now, by faith, and as an act of faith, I just want to transfer my fear from this thing that it shouldn't be on to where it should be on, and that is you. And I give you my awe and I give you my respect. You are great. You are awesome. You are worthy of all my biblical fear. And it's amazing to me how every time I do that, the dread lifts, the stress comes off of my shoulders. The situation's still there, but I am being relieved of these fears and these feelings of fear, and they're being given to God, and that glorifies God over the things that we tend to fear. And as I told you, I've been practicing that in my life for some 23 years now since I first discovered that, and it never fails to relieve me of my fearful thoughts and actions. I have to repeat it a lot, but it never fails. But fearing God only, and by fearing God only, we are able to live in victory over fear, and we glorify God, which is the purpose of our lives. Now, when that happens, when you learn to do that, you're able to obey some commands of the Bible. For instance, Isaiah 41:10 says, do not fear. How are you going to do that? I believe it's through transferring your fear. So now you can obey that verse. Do not fear. Do not fear. Why? For I am with you. Do not be anxiously looking about you, for I am your God. Notice that every time we're told not to fear or to anxiously look about, there is the replacement in our hearts and minds, in our senses even, of God himself. It's not just don't fear, just be strong. No, it's always in the context of our relationship with God. And then he even makes a promise. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That is the basis for not fearing. I mentioned to you many scriptures, but I want to go back to 1 Peter chapter 2. In verse 17, we mentioned this verse in the command to fear God. It says this, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Four things. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Think about that verse in light of what we are doing today. I mean, like right now. In the way that we're meeting today, by not meeting publicly and meeting the way we are, and you know the reason for that. The basic philosophy of that, of not meeting in large groups in the face of an epidemic, is that we are slowing or hopefully stopping the spread of the virus until it runs its course. Or we're, as they say, flattening the curve, where we're not we're helping society by not overwhelming ourselves with a spike of cases that we can't handle. And so there's a philosophy behind this. And so we're distancing ourselves socially. That's the word that's being used today, social distancing. We're distancing ourselves socially for the sake of everyone, not just ourselves. Okay? It's not just for us to not get the virus. It's for everyone. So if the idea is that if we avoid the virus, we benefit, of course, but so does everyone else. And that is why you can't take a cavalier attitude about it, especially for those of you who are younger, that it, you know, doesn't seem to affect as much younger people, though obviously there's younger people that have become very sick. But you could say, well, I don't care if I get it. It's not really going to affect me. The problem with that thinking is that we're not taking care of other people, that if we get it and then spread it again, even to, especially to older people. So my point in sharing all that with you is to say this is a way, and in a sense, we are honoring all people. Honoring all people. Honor people. But then we're also loving the brotherhood. We're loving the church by limiting ourselves for the sake of our spiritual family, to protect them, especially our beloved older brothers and sisters. We're loving the brotherhood by doing what we're doing today. And then, of course, we're fearing God. We already mentioned that, but we're giving him awe and respect and letting him be huge to us rather than being afraid and fearing the virus. We're encouraging ourselves to fear God. And so, in this sense, we're fearing him and fulfilling the passage of 1 Peter 7. And that is the point, really, of not fearing. in what we are doing today in worshiping together, we are giving him what only he deserves. And then finally, honor the king. Now, we don't have a king, obviously, in America. Donald Trump is not our king. If anything is the king, it's the Constitution. And the Constitution of the United States is our king. I've got another sermon on that if you ever want to hear it. But within the Constitution, we are called to respect and to let the elected officials of our land lead us. And so when we cooperate and follow the guidelines and the laws of the land, we are honoring the king. Thankfully, we're not being called to put aside our religious liberties, but we are cooperating together. So what an opportunity we have here that I and the elders are trusting that God will bless us as we seek to love our community and hopefully have the opportunity to share Christ as they feel loved by us. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Now, last week we looked at two examples of men who feared God and even transferred their fears. They didn't use that word, and they had humanly understandable reasons to be afraid. They had huge armies coming against them, governments larger than them. These are the kings of Judah. And Hezekiah was facing, just to remind you, Hezekiah was facing the evil king of Assyria who wanted to run over Judah and make them his slaves. That's very fearful. And we saw Hezekiah do something wonderful. 2 Chronicles 32:7, without going through the whole story again, this is what he said to the people. He said, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear. Do not fear or be dismayed because of the king of Assyria, nor because of all the horde that is with him." What was his reason for that? "For the one with us is greater than the one with him." Do you see what he did? He transferred his fear. He told the people, do not be afraid. Based on what? Get your eyes on God. Look at the comparison of the one that we're dealing with as God versus the king of Assyria. Don't fear the king of Assyria. Do not give him the respect. Don't be impressed by him. Don't stand in awe of him. And somebody probably said, but Hezekiah, there's a massive army out there that's going to run all over us. And Hezekiah says, yes, but the one with us is greater than the one with him. The fear was transferred. Give awe and respect and be impressed by the one who is with us, who is the Lord our God. And then we looked at King Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, also facing a huge army of terrorists in every sense. We know he was afraid. In fact, it says that in 2 Chronicles 20, starting there in verse 3. It says, in light of what was happening, it says, Jehoshaphat was afraid. He was afraid. But what did he do? He turned his attention to seek the Lord. He made a transfer. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. They even came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. They transferred their fears and their what they would have assumed would help them, maybe by running away or making a deal with the king. No, they feared God and transferred their fears. In fact, in verse 12, it says, "O our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude," that's their fear, "who are coming against us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you." We have transferred our gaze from our problem to you. But our eyes are on you. So these two men turned their fear of evil, being overrun by that or overwhelmed, they turned it to God, and they were saved from their fears. Now this morning, I want to give you two more illustrations from the Bible of those who did not fear even physical calamities. And that is especially relevant to us because of the thing that our society is facing right now, is a physical danger. It's a biological danger. And again, don't hear me saying that avoiding physical danger is the same thing as fearing it, just because you avoid it. That may be wise. Even taking extreme measures does not mean you are fearing it. We can be in dangerous situations and still not fear in our hearts. Two illustrations to encourage your transfer of God, a transfer of fear to God. Psalm 46, we'll start there. tremendous, tremendous statement of praise from the sons of Korah. It says this: God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Doesn't deny the trouble. Very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. We will not fear. Even in this, we're not going to fear. In what? Look at what he says. Though the earth should change and the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. And if you grammatically put the reason for that right next to it, we will not fear. Though its mountains quake at its swelling pride, we are not going to fear. Did you hear that? You know what he's describing? He's describing a massive event. Mountains slipping into the sea. That is clearly an earthquake of epic proportions. It is a physical change in the earth that we would call cataclysmic. And before the sons of Korah, for them to declare who their real fear or their real focus was, what did they say? God is our refuge. He is the one we look to. He's the one we stand in awe of. And he's the one that is going to overwhelm our senses. And we will do this even if the worst possible thing could happen. That's what he described. The earth changes. When the earth changes, you're in trouble. When the earth changes, that's bad. But he says, we're not going to fear. To the point that the whole mountains are sliding into the ocean. A few verses later, he gives his greatest consolation. He says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. So, the biblical illustration is really the worst possible situation. Maybe you've seen in the news recently all the different possibilities, and you're probably like me, you're just like on information overload. But the ones you are interested in, let's just be honest, are the worst possible situations, aren't they? I mean, we think about that. Worst possible situation. Not just a localized bad situation, but an earth-changing, in this case, epic disaster is happening. But what do God's people do? If there was ever a time to be afraid, it's now. And what do they say? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. So the first question then, of course, comes to us is, what is the basis of all this? Basically, he's saying a statement that assumes some things, and that would have been true of the people of Israel, of Judah. Basically, he's saying things are so bad that we may all be swept into this event of death, but we're still not going to fear, even in the worst possible situation. Now, please hear me say, I am not saying I think we are headed towards the worst possible situation. Actually, I don't. But even if, because the even if covers everything up until that point, he is the one we trust because he holds us forever in his great redemption. Now, this is where we can now take the revelation of God in the New Testament and give reasons for the confidence in the Old Testament. And that's what we call the gospel of Jesus Christ. The ultimate plan that God was working to bring a Savior to the world, to save us from our ultimate problem, our ultimate virus, the sin virus that indwells every one of us, that will kill us spiritually and condemn us forever. And that virus, that sickness, that disease, that evil, that death in us has been overcome in the gospel of Christ. Romans 8, 31 and 32. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? And he was talking to people who would probably die for their faith. It wasn't just a physical thing. It was an overwhelming reality that their eternal security was so powerful that it overcame their fears, even of the physical things they dealt with. And later he says, what will separate us from the love of God? And he includes death in that list. Nothing. Nothing. So our salvation in Christ is the ultimate reason why we do not fear. Let me say that again. Our salvation in Jesus Christ is the ultimate reason why we do not fear even death. That's the gospel. Do you believe that? Do you believe the gospel of Christ? If you don't, and God's opening your heart to it right now, you can invite him to come and be your Savior. Ask him to save you. Turn away from the evil of your own heart and receive him as your Lord and Savior. You've been fearing other things when you need to fear him. And that's true even for the Christian who has slipped into fear when we have Christ. And it's why Jesus said in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you're going to have tribulation, but take courage." What? "I have overcome the world." And that's why we trust him to deal with our fears, because he has overcome the world. We're going to, in a few moments, we're going to end the service with a song that deals with that. We just want you to listen to as you close things out, as we close things out a little bit later. I want you to hear the words of John 16:33 in a song that actually Grace wrote and performed right here in this room. We're going to listen to that song and just let the words of it soak into our souls. He has overcome death through his resurrection, and so we will too. Now, the last illustration I want to give you is a pretty exciting one. It's about the Apostle Paul. He was being transported as a prisoner of the Roman government on a ship bound for Rome. And a storm blew up, and the whole harrowing story is in Acts chapter 27. And, I mean, this is like epic movie material, okay? The wind is blowing, they put out the anchors, nothing can stop the dreaded plunge onto the reefs there off the island of Malta in the Mediterranean Sea. The ship breaks apart, they swim for shore, everybody is saved. And that's where we pick up Acts 28. I want you to see something that happened in the life of the Apostle Paul that demonstrates the person who really does not have fear in his heart. Listen, when they had been brought safely through, then we found out that the island was called Malta. The natives showed us extraordinary kindness, for because of the rain that had set in and because of the cold, they kindled a fire and received us all. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, and laid them on the fire, a viper, a snake, came out because of the heat and fastened itself on his hand. When the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they began saying to one another, "Undoubtedly this man is a murderer, and though he has been saved from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." However, he, Paul, shook the creature off into the fire and suffered no harm. But they were expecting that he was about to swell up and suddenly fall down dead. They knew what kind of snake that was. But after they had been waiting a long time and they had seen nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and began to say that he was a god. What is amazing to me about this story is that it is mentioned almost incidentally. Because the next verse carries on the whole story for the next part of his journey. Verse 7, "Now in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonging to the leading men of the island named Publius, who welcomed us and entertained us courteously 3 days." He just had a poisonous, deadly snake on his hand. He shakes it off in the fire and goes on like nothing's happened. That's amazing. Now, folks, I hate snakes. I hate them. I don't like snakes. You say, well, are you afraid of them? You know, I probably am. I don't like snakes. I have bad dreams about snakes. I don't like snakes. This guy was not afraid of one that actually bit him. Did you see what happened? Paul was not looking for trouble. He wasn't doing anything irresponsible. He had just come from being shipwrecked. And he's gathering some wood and bam! The viper bites him and he shakes it off in the fire. Apparently, no fear. Paul was aware. He knew death was possible. But Paul had developed a mindset against the fear that cripples so many. What was that mindset? He had learned to fear God only. He had learned to fear God only. And it's what allowed him to write the next words in Romans chapter 8. Listen to these words in light of what happened to him in Malta. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, I think we could add coronaviruses there, will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Even physical danger is dealt with in our confidence in Jesus Christ. When Paul understood that nothing could come to him that would ultimately destroy him, he had no real need to fear. Now that is a massive truth. And when we get hold of that truth, we don't need to be afraid either, because our awe, our respect, our overwhelming of our senses is fixed on Jesus, the Lord. His death and his resurrection is our death. And since he has dealt with our sin problem, there is nothing left to fear but God alone. So let me ask you this morning, what do you stand in awe of? What is your fear factor? What is staring you in the face? What do you fear? Do you need to settle the fear problem? You can, based on the Word of God. If you're a Christian, you can believe the gospel again of what you profess, that Christ has dealt with every issue that would ever separate you from God, including physical danger, persecution. There is no reason for us to fear. If we think this is all there is, we have every reason to fear. And if you've never put your faith in Christ, you need to fear God only and repent of all the things that you have put in his place. And we learn again today that if God is your object of awe and respect, you won't have to be overcome by fear, even of physical danger, which is very relevant to all of us right now. You may avoid it naturally, but you don't have to fear it, because it cannot take away your eternal security. One last verse, Psalm 38, verse 7. Listen to this. Let all the earth fear the Lord. How do you fear the Lord? Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For our response this morning, we're going to sing an older song of newer songs. Came and developed even in my lifetime, has been of great ministry to me, that says these exact words, I stand in awe of you, Lord. And this will be an opportunity for you, right where you're at, in your home, or however you're watching or listening, for you to take a moment to transfer your fear, to have a moment of worship, to give God the awe that he deserves in your life. So let's pray to that end. Let's look to respond to him in this way and ask the Lord to help us to fear him and him alone. Father, we thank you for this time in your word. Thank you that we can, along with the psalmist, declare that we stand in awe of you. We give you our respect. We want you to overwhelm us, even our senses, even the way we feel inside. You are very interested in how we feel. And I pray you would deliver us from our fears as we turn our fear to you. Lord, help us as we sing this song to sing it with sincerity and with joy and with freedom. And for those who need Christ, that today they would stand in awe of you, maybe for the very first time, and they would give you their fear. We trust you for this. In the name of Jesus, amen.